Kent Biz Connect on Radio Ashford with Martin White.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another Biz Connect, a radio show today. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be with you for the next hour or so. We've got a mix of fabulous music, as always chosen by our studio guest today, so expect that to be quite an eclectic mix. You can follow us on Twitter at Kent_Biz, and we also have dedicated LinkedIn and Facebook show pages, so do search for us there as the Biz Connect radio show. And we also have a website, kentbizconnect.co.uk, and you can find out more information about today's guests and also listen back to any show that we've had in the past as well from our website, so please catch up there. If you're an Ashford-based business or organisation and you have an interesting story to tell, we would love to have you appear on the show as a guest. Please do get in touch and we'll see if we can arrange that for a future show date as well. Now, we have two super guests with us in the studio today from homeless charity Porchlight, and I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves. So, to my left, we have...
Hi, my name's Tom Newmark. I'm CEO of Porchlight.
Tom, lovely to have you with us today. And to my right... Jane, you went a bit quiet on me there, so yeah, can I just ask you to do that again? Just talk into the microphone.
Hi, I'm Jane, and I'm the Housing First Coordinator for
Porchlight. Okay, your microphone is definitely dead, so we're going to come back to you, and we'll do the swap like we discussed before the show. We'll give the cable a wiggle and see if we can get it working. So, yes, so we've got a fascinating... hours conversation ahead of us with Tom and Jane, so do please stay with us. What we're going to do now, I think, is choose a couple of Tom's tracks for today. We've got the Beatles, Here Comes the Sun, and we've got Chapel Row and Pink Pony Club. So we're going to play those, Tom, and then when we come back, we're going to have a chat with you in a bit more detail. So do stay with us, and we'll be right back after this. Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning into the BizConnect radio show today. As we were saying before the break, we're delighted to have two super guests in the studio with us today. We have Tom Neumann and we have Jane Hendy from Porchlight with us. Welcome to the show, both of you.
Thank you very much.
Lovely to have you with us. Tom, I'm going to ask you about your music tracks first, because you were telling me about the Beatles and Here Comes the Sun and your inspiration for choosing that today. So let's give a shout out to...
Yeah, I'm going to give a shout out to my 8-year-old daughter. It's one of her favourites, so a lovely chance for me to play out on the radio.
Brilliant. And what's her name?
Her name's Noah.
Noah. Noah, I don't know if you're tuned in. Probably not, but you can listen back later with Dad over dinner or something. Anyway, Tom, lovely to see you today. Give us an introduction, please, if you can, to Porchlight, and then perhaps your role as chief executive as well.
Yeah, thank you very much. Porchlight's Kent's homelessness charity. We were founded way back 1974, so we've been going for slightly over 50 years, and we support people to find a home and to stay in their home. Every year across Kent, we're supporting thousands of people in that way, and I guess it's my job to make sure we're doing what we say we should be doing, and we're doing it in the right way, because I think for us the most important thing is working in a way that's compassionate, that's focused on the person in front of us as an individual. And so that's what I try and do, as well as sometimes I get to go on the radio.
Fantastic, thank you. So you work solely in Kent or wider across the southeast?
We're really focused on Kent. Mm-hmm. And we think it's really important to be part of the community here. There's plenty of need in Kent. The most recent numbers we had, the official numbers, were that there was 248 people seen sleeping rough throughout Kent and Medway. We know that's just the tip of the iceberg. Those are just the official numbers. And it's obviously incredibly bad for people to be sleeping rough. Mm-hmm. It's bad for your health, it's bad for your well-being, it's bad for your future prospects. So there's plenty of work for us throughout Kent, and we do that in partnership. And we think by being focused on Kent, we can go deeper with those partners.
Mm-hmm. And you can you trace your heritage back, you were saying, back to the 1970s. Mm. So how did it originally start? You know, was the need... in the 1970s, the same as the need that exists today?
That's a great question. It was a very different world, of course, in so many ways in the 70s. But our founder, also called Tom, one of what he saw was there was a need for working in a different way. I mean, like you said, the government services, the rules, the housing market, everything like that was so different then. But what he saw was a need to look at people in the round, to not look at them as just a homeless person or someone with substance abuse, to look at them as a whole person and how can they contribute to their community. I mean, a lot of it was people would be working in farm work and things like that, getting healthy out into the community as an alternative to things like bail hostels and institutions. I mean, people were often institutionalized in those days. And we try and keep that legacy going. Like I said, we're trying to work in a way that's very compassionate with the people we're working on to complement the government services that might be a little bit more focused on the rules, the regulations, and maybe a slightly more clinical way of working than we have.
Yeah. So even as recently as the 70s, people were still very much sort of institutionalised almost. You know, we had this thing, didn't we, in the 1800s, where if you didn't have any money, if you were living in abject poverty, you'd find yourself in a workhouse, wouldn't you?
I think that's spot on. I mean, I think that's persisted to an extent more and more. And part of what we're doing is we're working with people who have... They maybe don't trust institutions, they maybe don't feel very positive towards official services because they might have a history with these things. And so we can offer a community way, a charity way of working with people that can be a bit more human.
Yeah. And I'd like to ask you about some of the sort of misconceptions around homelessness, you know, and breaking down those barriers. Talk to me about some of the reasons why people become homeless, because, you know, as I say, I do think there is a lot of misconception around that.
Yeah, that's right. And people also don't always know about how effective charities like Porchlight can be as well. And people can kind of have a view of it's inevitable, which we don't believe is the case. So typical reasons that someone might end up as homeless, on the surface, it might be something like a relationship breakdown, chucked out from house, or it might be the landlord's evicted you because of they want someone who can pay more rent. But when you go down underneath it, what you can look at is it's because that person maybe doesn't have someone else they can turn to. And so some of us listening to this show might be in that situation, and others of us might think, well, if things got really, really bad, I'd go to mum, you know, I'd go to my aunt or whatever it might be. But after a while, those sofas run out. Those people you go to run out, or maybe you don't even have them in the first place. And so people in that situation can be very vulnerable, very at risk to these type of things. But all of us are to an extent, you know. It just takes one or two things to happen in your life, and you can end up in a really bad spot. Having said that, a lot of what we do is show people that it is possible to find a home, to stay in a home, and to build a life, even if you don't have initially that whole network around you. It definitely is possible to build a life.
And one of the things we were talking about off air was the importance of people coming to you early so that you're in a position to help them before it gets to the point where actually I'm now living on the streets. So what do we mean by that? What are we talking about there? If perhaps you think you might be, you know, one step away from that.
Yeah, so the old saying is it's better to have a fence at the top of the hill than the ambulance at the bottom, isn't it? And I think that's just as true with housing as it is for everything else. I mean, we run support services throughout the county. One of the main ones that people may have heard of is called Live Well Kent and Medway. And we are supporting people to make sure they stay in their home. Now, that might be their debt. It might be situations with their landlord. It might be situations with their mental health. Now, these are all things that when you're having them, when you're having those challenges, sometimes it can feel like this is impossible. It's getting on top of me. I feel like I can't cope. Lots of people can feel that way coming up to Christmas, obviously. But actually, our workers are very skilled at breaking the situation down into small steps and working with people on a plan. Is that how are we going to clear this debt? Is it how am I going to get support around drugs and alcohol? Is it how am I going to talk to my landlord? What are my rights? What are the other options for me? And having someone on your side when you feel like that world is just crashing in on you, it can make all the difference. Yeah. And so that means people don't end up in the street where you're seeing them more and more throughout Kent. Yeah,
I love that. That's such an important part of what you do. And also, you do actually have your own accommodation as well in the community. We were talking about, you know, Ramsgate and Margate earlier. Tunbridge Wells, I think we were talking about as well. So up and down the county, you are actually able to offer people a safe refuge as well if they need it.
Yeah, that's right, because as important as it is to prevent people to get into that situation, sadly, we all know, walking around our towns in Kent, that it is a growing problem, that there are more people who need emergency responses. I mean, partly what we do for an emergency response is we actually go out. We go out in the night, we go out during the day, and we speak to people who are in a tough situation, maybe sleeping on the street, build up trust, build up rapport, get to know them, help them to resolve their situation. And as part of that, yeah, we have some safe houses across the county that people are able to go into. It's not just a house, though. We also have trained, skilled workers who are on site and able to support people both when they're moving in, but also where they're going to move on to. So this is only going to be a temporary place while you get yourself ready for moving into your own place. What do you need to get in there? We're going to be by people's side that whole way. And yeah, like you said, that's all the way from Tunbridge to Thanet, Dover, Folkestone.
And everywhere in between, yeah. Fantastic. Now, we were talking about how much it costs to be able to run a charity like yours and do the great work that you do. Mm. You were saying your annual budget is around £12 million in terms of what you actually spend, and that's a mixture of income that you might get from the government, but also, crucially, income from rent, from people that are able to afford to live in one of your premises as well. But you have, this time of year, obviously, it's particularly pertinent. You have a winter appeal and a winter campaign. So tell us a little bit about that and why that's so important.
Yeah, we rely on donations from the public. We do work in partnership with local authorities and with the NHS to make sure that we have services. But ultimately, we rely on the goodwill of the public, community groups and businesses. And people are very generous, and we're very grateful to them for their support. And their donations make the services possible. Every winter we ask people for their support. I'd ask people to support us again this winter to think about donating to Porchlight. And their donations can do anything from offering person their first hot drink or hot meal that they've had, all the way through to helping someone move into their own place and kit it out with the white goods and things like that that mean it's possible to turn it into a home. And so if people were able to give, we'd be very grateful to them. It is a time of year, isn't it, where lots of us think about giving to homelessness charities.
Yes.
So it's very traditional, and one of the reasons we're on the show today is hopefully a chance for people to hear about this way of supporting
Absolutely.
People in their community.
And you also have some amazing corporate partners that you work with as well. So just give us a flavour for how they get involved in terms of supporting you.
Yeah, I think one of the amazing things about Kent is that sense of community, that sense of we're all part of something bigger than ourselves. And I think we've got some amazing companies in Kent that really play an outsized role in their communities. I'd give a shout out to a few, but I'm scared about missing out any names. I'll tell you a few. I mean, Barrett's car dealership have been incredibly generous to us, hosting us as well as raising funds. Thanet Earth are a fantastic organisation, and they're giving produce.
Yes.
And we work with a financial services organisation called Cabot, and they are tremendously innovative at thinking about how they can get their teams involved. I know they did Bushwhacker trial for their senior team, where the CEO had to eat terrible, horrible, creepy crawlies. So they all had a good time of that, and I thought, well, that's good, but let's not get ideas at Porchlight about what we're going to do. Yeah.
But the point, I guess, there is, you know, if you are an organisation tuned in, more and more organisations today are aligned with social value. In terms of, you know, what they can put back to the community, either through volunteering days. Is that something that you're able to offer as well?
Exactly. And what we notice when we do volunteering is those might be one-off things, or they might be regular things, they might be team things, or they might be individual things. And what we find when we work with companies that take this approach is the staff feel like they're part of an organisation that's part of their own community, that's also lined up with their own personal values. So their engagement with their company kind of increases because they feel proud to be working somewhere that's doing this this good work in their community. And so we're very flexible, and if companies are interested in contacting to us, they get a very personal approach, and we work with them to find a solution that works.
Yeah, I love that. Fantastic. Good. Well, it's been wonderful to have you with us today. Just give us a shout out for your website, if you can, in terms of how individuals and businesses alike can actually find out more information about your winter appeal, for example, and actually get involved and make a difference.
Porchlight.org.uk. Everything's on there. Details of our life-saving work, how you can support us, how you can donate.
Amazing, Tom. Thank you so much. I think what we're going to do now is we're going to play a little bit more music. We've got a track from our second guest, Jane, who I can't wait to talk to as well in the second part of the show. So do stay with us, and we'll be right back after this.
Kent Biz Connect on Radio Ashford with Martin White.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for being with us today on the BizConnect radio show. We've been talking with Tom Neumann, who is the Chief Executive of homeless charity Porchlight. But we have another guest in the studio with us today as well. We have a wonderful lady called Jane Hendy. Jane, welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to start, if we can, by talking a little bit about your direct experience of homelessness and your journey, and perhaps, you know, how that all came about, in your own words, if you can.
Okay, well, I became homeless at the age of 15, so I'm going back many, many years now. So my first experience of homelessness was in the late 70s, when the world was a very different place to what it is today. So services like Porchlight, although had been around about 4 years, were not visible. So I spent many years sleeping in a toilet in the city centre. It was before I was old enough to claim benefits, so the only way I ate was to take a sandwich at the back of Marks and Spencer's. Sorry, Marks and Spencer's, I'm happy to refund you for any any loss you might have had. But I used to take one sandwich, because they used to have their sandwiches delivered then. Yeah. And then go somewhere else and get a pint of milk. Cool. And that's how I lived for a year before.
So let's just unpack understand it. That in a bit more detail. So you were 15.
I was 15
at
years
the time,
old,
which is unimaginable at any age. But at 15, what were your circumstances? How did that even come about, Jane? And okay. That's a very personal thing.
No, that's fine. I'll probably end up hitting on another topic whilst we're there. I was 15 years old. I was absolutely terrified of being seen as somebody who was wrong, or I couldn't find my identity at the time, so I was going through a massive identity issue around my sexuality and everything else. At the time, the gay community was underground. There was no positive images. Gay bashing was a weekend sport, especially in the city centres. It was still under the Mental Health Act. There was nowhere I could go to speak to anyone about being a 15-year-old girl not knowing what on earth was going on. Couldn't go to my family. My family were very much hard working, working class family, you know, so didn't give them a chance, to be honest.
No.
Fear got the better of me. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, you just heard horror stories, or, you know, everything on the TV was a negative image. And, we didn't have social media then, so as in the Facebooks and stuff like that, so you were very limited to where you got your knowledge from. And it was just a really, really terrifying time.
Yes.
For me at the time. And
that was your only alternative.
I sat on a bench and I was trying to think, you know, who am I, what am I, is there something wrong with me, You know, am I ever going to fit anywhere? I don't feel like I belong anywhere. And that hour became a night, became a day, became a week, became a year and became a lifetime. And if there had just been someone to talk to at that crisis point in my life, that could have turned around and said, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, you're not on your own. You know, you're not crazy. You're not on your own. There's not anything wrong with you. It's just, you know, this is, you are finding your identity of you. And you're
you
okay.
You needed someone to put their arm around you and give you a big hug and say, it's okay.
And just, you know, and just say you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
You're not bad.
Yeah. So, fast forward to today. Your role at Porchlight is Housing First Coordinator and Community Outreach Support Worker.
Now, there's a mouthful.
It is, isn't it? It is. But actually...
commonly known as Jane.
I'm already painting a picture in my own mind in terms of the work that you do on the ground. So tell us a little bit about what all of that involves.
The Housing First element is following the principles of Housing First, whereby the basic one is... instead of expecting people to get well on the street and fix their lives or fix whatever's gone wrong, is give someone a safe place to actually get well in. So not everyone can make the journey I made and survive it, you know. So actually having a safe space and someone who is, you know, trained Porchlight member staff or whoever, that is going to sit down and hear your story. Not assume it. Not tell you what it should look like, but hear you is key. And that's where the Housing First element comes from. You know, you can't get well on the street.
Mm-hmm.
It's an impossibility.
Yeah.
You know, it's you know, especially if you have co-occurring conditions like mental health and drugs and alcohol and stuff like that, expecting people to deal with those complex issues, get well, and then be housed.
So you will approach people directly?
Directly.
In the community?
Through our outreach,
mm-hmm.
you know, or through our councils, or through everywhere anyone is popping up.
Yeah.
But from a Porchlight stance, we will go out in the community. So, and we'll do outreach sessions, and we get to know someone, and we get people, you know, one of the key messages here is, you know, you're not alone. You're not invisible, we see you. And not only do we see you, we're coming to walk part of that journey with you for as long as you need us to be there.
Yeah.
And when you don't need us, if there ever comes a time in your life when you do, just pick up a phone.
Mm-hmm.
We're never going to shut the door.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you know, I'm going to introduce you. Hi, here's a door. Hopefully, we'll give you a key to one and you get in the other side. So... that's the Housing First element, the outreach, you know, our outreach teams are out there, you know, and, you know, the rough sleeping side of homelessness is the tip of the iceberg. You know, underneath there is thousands of people that don't even get considered as being homeless, you know, that are sofa surfing, they're going from house to house to house, you know, they're hidden in sheds, they're in substandard accommodation.
Yeah.
You know, they are...
we were talking about that off-air, weren't we, Tom? You know, we were saying that I think it's Crisis have just literally published a report into the gross underestimation in terms of the people that fall into those categories.
I mean, it's you know, you're going to go out and you're going to count how many people are sleeping on the streets.
Mm.
You would have never found me.
Right.
You know, because actually it's too frightening to be found.
Yeah.
In some instance. But our visible homeless community out there, we can go and find. But we're also there for the hidden community, for those that are too scared to step forward, for those that are...
or moving from sofa to sofa.
Moving sofa to sofa. Yeah. For those that have been, you know, are vulnerable and picked up and are suddenly caught in, you know, the human trafficking and, you know, the exploitation routes and modern-day slavery and stuff. It's like the vulnerability levels out there are phenomenal, caught in gangs, you know.
So this whole outreach support worker side of what you do.
Yeah.
So presumably you are walking the streets and...
Literally.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. You know, we're relying on a lot of the times the general public or the services out there going on to Street Link, letting us know that they've saw someone.
I see. Mm-hmm.
And we can go out and so literally pinpoint on a map on there and go, okay, I saw a tent in the woods on such and such. Right. And then we
so
can
let's
go
talk
out.
About that, Jane. So there is a mechanism for the public to report homelessness.
Yeah.
Street Link, you mentioned.
Yeah. So, you know, you can go on to Street Link, you can mm-hmm. report that you've seen, mm-hmm. You know, evidence that someone might be sleeping rough there. Mm-hmm. You know?
So that's a website?
It's an app, you can go on as
oh,
well.
Oh, an app as well.
Mm-hmm. And website, and also if you are rough sleeping, mm-hmm. you're able to get on there yourself and say, this is where I am.
Yes.
You can put, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that's so interesting. I mean, you know, I was talking with Tom, and I was saying that, you know, I'd noticed a tent had appeared in my local park. Mm. And, you know, but what do I do about that? You know, is it a police matter? Is it a council matter?
It's
you know,
everyone's
ultimately,
matter.
You want to help that individual, not report them in any sense of the word.
Yeah, and
so
that the tools are there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can, you know, everyone is carrying a phone these days. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes 2 seconds
right.
to jump on a link yeah. and just go,
yeah.
I don't know if anyone's there, but there's
yes.
somebody that looks like might be rough yeah. sleeping now.
Because I think, you know, part of the issue is, you know, just how members of the public, quite often, we just feel useless. You know, short of giving somebody some money when they're sitting outside, you know, a supermarket or whatever it might be, we just feel quite helpless, actually. And so, you know, when we see something like that, it's reassuring to know that there is a mechanism to actually at least start a conversation with an organisation like yourselves in the first
yeah.
instance.
I mean, you don't even have to identify yourself.
Mm.
You can just say there has been, yeah. you know, we've seen evidence.
Yeah, I've seen a tent appear in my local park. Yeah. I have no idea what it means, but... Mm.
You know, I see a discarded sleeping bag or yeah. something. There may be someone there.
Mm-hmm.
And we will go out and we will check.
Yeah. I'd like to come back to your story, if I can, and just understand how, you know, you were living in a climate, as you said, where, you know, being gay was actually, I think probably still
under
a criminal
act,
wasn't it? Yeah.
It was under mental health, yeah.
And I remember watching the Remembrance Sunday service on Saturday night from the Albert Hall. And, you know, people from the gay community talking about the fact that actually they could be thrown out of the services.
Yeah,
for being gay, you know, in up until whenever it was, the late 80s or 90s,
yeah.
even.
You know, like, if you think, all the time I was, there was nothing going on in the world at the time that I hit the streets to reinforce any hope for me. You know, we had Clause 28 come in, you know, there was like, so everything was out, the gay, AIDS had arrived, you know, you know, that sort of hit the gay community majorly, not just on a health level, but on the political view and people's perception of gay people.
But what was the thing that ultimately, and you know, how long were you on the streets for? Is my sort of, you know, first question.
The first key I got to a door that I opened where I thought, oh my God, this is mine. That didn't belong to anyone else. I was 32.
32, gosh. So you'd live with that all of your young adult...
Right the way through.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'd gone from rough sleeping to in squats, to yeah. in, you know, to relationships that maybe I shouldn't have been in, to, you know, all those kind of situations. And I was 32 years old and in London by this point. And got the first key to a door that I shut the door. I had nothing in there. It was totally, I remember, it was just totally empty.
Of course.
And I just went out the local church
But it was
shop.
Yours.
got a bag of chips, mm-hmm. sat on the floor, and that was the first time in my life where I kind of thought, oh my God, this is mine.
But what was it that got you to that point at 32? Was it Porchlight? You know, was it another homeless charity in London?
I was actually working for the charity. I remained hidden throughout all my life. I only spoke about my lived experience over the last couple of years in Porchlight when I saw that, you know, funding was changing, our service was under threat, and I couldn't sit back and let that happen without stepping forward and going, do you know what? You know, I've had lived experience. Here I am. Mm-hmm. You know, and without Porchlight saved my life in many ways, mm-hmm. without even knowing it.
Right, okay.
At the time when I got that key in London, I'd put myself through university. I qualified as a social worker. I was working for St. Botolph's, which was a homeless day centre, as resettlement and seniors social worker. So I was dealing with hundreds of rough sleepers every day. And no one knew about my housing history because I wasn't there for me, I was there for everybody else. But the opportunity I got come from the amazing people I met along my journey.
Of course.
The impact.
Yeah.
That smile, you know, mm-hmm. someone just taking the time and going, you all right? You know, can change mm-hmm. a lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, I stood on a bridge, Bristol Suspension Bridge, when I was 16 years old. And I used to stand up high and watch all the lights and see and think, surely one belongs to me.
Yeah.
Surely there's a light out there that's mine. And I used to just stand there sort of thinking, oh God, you know, what would it look like? You know, what's home? All this, that and the other. And I started climbing up the bridge. And I was going at that point. And the reason being is a one link I'd made on the street, I just found dead. So I'm like, oh my God.
You're back to nothing again.
Is this the only person that spoke to me in a year was dead. So I climbed up and someone came alongside of me. And I heard this voice go, all right. Obviously West Country. All right. And I went, and I remember I was halfway up the bridge, and I went, right. And he went, nice view, innit? You know when you're kind of caught in that moment? Yeah, it is. And without realising, he took me off that bridge and away from it before parting company.
Yeah.
I had no idea who his name is. I had no idea at all. Just found myself not on that bridge anymore.
Yeah.
And that's the importance. So when we go out in outreach, we are that voice.
Mm.
You know, we're somebody else's voice on that bridge.
Amazing. Jane, you really are a true inspiration in so many ways. Your fortitude and, you know, your resilience and being able to turn your life around, you know, from someone at a very tender age with no life experience finding themselves in that situation. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on with us today. I think what we're going to do, we're going to play one more music track, and then when we come back, I'd like to bring the two of you together again, and then we'll close out the show. So do stay with us, and we'll be right back after this.
Kent Biz Connect on Radio Ashford with Martin White.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for staying with us for the final part of the Biz Connect radio show today. I hope you agree it's been a fascinating show, a very thought-provoking show in terms of, you know, tackling the issue of homelessness in all of our communities, particularly at this time of year. But we'd like to end on a positive note. And, you know, Tom, just reflecting on the show and what you'd like people to kind of take away from today in your own words, please.
Yeah, I think one of the things I reflect on the show is the extent to which this is an issue that we care about, that we want to do something about. We don't always know what we should do about it, but we've learnt a bit, I think, from the course of this conversation today. There are services. If you see someone who's sleeping rough, you can go onto StreetLink. If you want to volunteer with Porchlight, you can volunteer. If you're part of a company, you can approach Porchlight and we can work together. If you want to donate to Porchlight, you can donate. And in a small way or a big way, we can all play our part. And make, it's not inevitable. Mm-hmm. Things don't have to be how they are. Mm-hmm. We can change them and we can do it.
Absolutely, yeah. And Jane, there's no better example than yourself, obviously.
And for me, all I'd want listeners out there to really know is, no matter what's going on in your life, we see you. Mm-hmm. We're there. You're not alone. You don't have to walk this path alone. You don't have to take the hard road every single time. Mm-hmm. You know, people care. You guys out there care. Without you, we can't do our job. I can't go out there without your help. Mm-hmm. And what amazing help we've had over the years, haven't we? And amazing people.
Yeah.
You know, both those that use our service and those that actually support it.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Well, I have to say, from my own point of view, there was certainly a large element of ignorance around the issue and, you know, frustration, as I say, in terms of, you know, helplessness and what to do. And so that's been, you know, quite empowering for me today to listen to both of you.
Yeah, we're not scary, we're just lost.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, someone reprogrammed our sat-nav somewhere and we kind of like, you know, just need to find our way home.
And homelessness isn't inevitable.
No.
And, you know, clearly, as you've talked about, Jane, you know, bouncing back from, you know, a really difficult situation like that is possible as well. So
absolutely.
Yeah, fantastic. Good. Well, you've both been fabulous guests today. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Just give us one final shout out for your website, if you can, Tom.
Yeah, go to porchlight.org.uk.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for that. And thank you to our listeners today as well. We will be back in a couple of weeks' time with two more fabulous studio guests. But for now, I think all that remains is to say goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And we'll catch up with you again very soon. Bye for now.